Wow, I saw you dancing out here. My goodness. What a wonderful morning this is, and thank you all so much for coming. It is such a beautiful Memorial Day holiday. This is the time, of course, where we honor the men and women who gave their lives in the service of our country. And it's been such a gorgeous week here in the city where we've welcomed thousands of servicemen and women here for Fleet Week. I love it when they come in town, don't you? Wow, they are so young and so gorgeous in their little uniforms. Oh my gosh. Wow. And they get so excited about being in the city. It makes me remember how excited I was the very first time I came to Manhattan. You remember that? Wow. Woo. Let's just bless them in our hearts this morning and see them all protected and strong. I am so glad to see so many of you here today on this traditional weekend where a lot of people flee the city. We saw them in the traffic jams on Friday going out to the beach or headed to the mountains. But you know what? It leaves us a lot of elbow room, doesn't it? I got a seat on the bus. Yeah. And you know what? We'll be able to slip right into brunch today, probably without any weight at all. So I want to get started this morning. As Kathy told you, this Sunday morning, May 29th, we're wrapping up our focus this month on the power of power. One of Charles Fillmore's 12 powers or faculties, the mental or physical powers that everyone shares. Today, we're exploring our power to make a difference. Some of you know here this morning that I'm the baby of my family, and I was born 10 years after the last of my four siblings. My older two sisters were off and having families of their own by the time I was 6 years old. So I became Aunt Becca pretty soon, at a very young age, actually. And I had lots of time to interact with my little nieces and nephews as they were growing up. So by the time I got to be an adolescent, I had a whole flock of them around me, like probably nine by that time. Whenever our family was coming over, my mother would always remind me, and boy, did I hate it when she said this, "The little ones are watching you, you know." Man, I barely knew what the words role model meant back then, but my mama's message was abundantly clear. Whether I liked it or not, I had to understand that my behavior, especially as a teenager in the 1960s, would have a big impression on my nieces and nephews. The way I conducted myself had a powerful influence over the little ones. So I was regularly put on notice that I had to be mindful and responsible for my actions. Does anybody here today remember what it felt like to be 14 or 15? Oh, yeah, come on. No. For most of us, I think it was a crazy, emotion-driven time. Every day, my emotions were like a kaleidoscope, or more like a tornado, and I don't know how my mother stood it. However, when the little guys came to visit, I had to put a lid on it, because these little guys were like sponges, soaking up everything that they saw and heard. And you know, God is really funny. Just so I would never forget that they were sponges, sometimes those little ones would repeat back to me what I had said. Don't you love it when kids do that? Woo-hoo. There is probably not one parent here this morning that hasn't got at least a story about their child who might have acted out or reflected back a behavior they had seen at home in public, much to our mortification. I knew that if I lost my temper or popped off to my mama in the heat of the moment, invariably a nearby three-year-old would magically incorporate my sassy mouth, and they would spin it back to me or to their parents later on in the day. If I stormed off and slammed the door or threw things, that's what they remembered, and that's what they imitated. The drama, the times when I responded hatefully or yelled or did anything ugly before I thought. So it became my responsibility to welcome my nieces and nephews into our home with calm and with love and with fun. In league with my mama, who was also a fantastic grandmama, of course, we tried to create an environment where there were rules, but there was a whole lot of fun and joy as well. I came to know early on that some little kids didn't get all the attention in their home that they really craved. So we tried our best to make sure when they were with us that they were listened to and encouraged to chime in and share their dreams with us. Well, I'm happy to say that Aunt Becca and the nieces and nephews all survived and grew up together and turned out pretty well, I think. There's still a lot of love there, and we all stay in touch, even if it's just on Facebook. Now, I tell you this story to set the stage for how our emotions, our behaviors, and the words that come through us into the world impact not only our inner peace and happiness, but impact the lives of others. And that's the power of power. So what exactly is the power of power? Well, Fillmore tells us that the power faculty represents the power of the mind, and its center is in the back of the throat and in the voice. In divine mind, that's our God mind, all loving and all powerful and all knowing, we inherit power over the force of our own minds, the power that lets us control the expressions of our emotions, our inspirations, and our thoughts. Power, Mr. Fillmore cautions us, is not an end in itself, not a goal to be sought. It's simply a means, a weight that enables us to bring God ideas on earth. We must not use our power for controlling others, but for the purpose of taking dominion over our own thoughts and feelings. In Genesis 1:26, we read, "And God said, 'Let us make man in our own image, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth.'" Metaphysically, the fish and the fowl and the cattle and the creeping things are our thoughts, our passions, and our feelings. And as divine children of God, we have dominion over our ideas and our words. We claim that power by controlling our consciousness and making our choices inspired by spirit to express God's image and likeness in the world. Now, that's a whole lot of words to take in, isn't it? Long story short, I believe that humankind is the power of God in action. I think that power is how we choose to show up as God on earth. In the Bible, we read that Jesus usually sent out his disciples in pairs to do their work in the world. Mr. Fillmore reminds us that our faculty of power should also be used in conjunction with the other 11 powers. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? For example, combining the faculties of power and wisdom might be a combination that we would pray for in our political candidates, right? By pairing power and wisdom, we could speak words of truth with authority. Or by pairing the strengths of power and love, we could lead with compassion and kindness. With power and strength, we could stand strong in the face of any challenge. And of course, with power and imagination, we could go where man has never gone before, in cutting-edge scientific research or creating new ways to communicate and share the principles of unity around the world. Metaphysically, when the Bible says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them," Jesus is referring to using our spiritual powers together to magnify them. By combining the spiritual powers, we multiply them. For me, the power of power is like feeling the wisdom of God flowing through us like a channel, like a beam of clear light shining around our heads and moving through us down into our throat and out into the world in our words. Power is released by consciously speaking positive, powerful words of truth. But we can only serve as channels for power. We can't store it all up and hoard it and then release it. We must keep both ends of the passage open if we're to have spiritual power available for our use. Well, now, how do we do that? Well, you know, with prayer and meditation. Eric Butterworth says it's through opening the inlet by prayer and receptivity to God that we fill our power channel to release good into the world. Imagining this inflow and outflow of God through us made me think of the word influence, from the Latin word influere, which means to flow. Influence is our capacity to have an effect on the character or development or behavior of someone or something. In a recent Psychology Today article, Dr. Alex Lickerman wrote, "We don't even have to try to influence others because we're already exerting influence simply by being who we are, saying what we say, or doing what we do. Our choice comes in whether the influence we exert is good or bad." Just like my mama said, you never know who's watching you. Because somebody always is, whether it's your child or your boss or that stranger on the train platform. Our emotions and our inner life just filter out through our words and actions, even in the quietest and smallest ways. It struck me this week, it's sort of like a new spin on the golden rule. Instead of do unto others, it's be unto others as you wish them to be for you. Be the difference. Be the good example you want to see in the world. But come on now, are we really that susceptible to the influences of others? Dr. Lickerman says that in medical school, the young doctors were taught that one way to recognize a patient who is depressed is by examining their own mood once they were finished interacting with them. If we feel depressed ourselves, a pretty good chance exists that they are too. If we're all one, then it stands to reason that our inner life finds itself mirrored in and by our environment. The more good influences with which we surround ourselves, the happier we'll be. And the more we influence for the good, the more good we create in the world. Even more simply put, one author compared influence to a liquid that flows into and out of us. The spirit that flows into us directly affects our internal state, and it affects that what flows out of us, inevitably impacting on what gets into others all around us. It's like a splash. People and places and experiences that provide positive influence are those that just help us be better today than we were yesterday. As we become more mindful of our power to make a difference in the world, we can choose to inspire. We can expand our own vision every day to embrace a better future. We can choose to encourage, become that constant and enthusiastic encourager, a voice in the world that says, "You can do this." So everybody who hears that can internalize it and say, "I can do this." And by our example, we cannot fail to motivate, to help others discover a sense of purpose that helps them grow and achieve. Motivational speaker Jim Rohn wrote, "We become the combined average of the five people we hang around most with." Now, that's an amazing thought, isn't it? Wow. Right now, just this minute, open, you know, close your eyes for just a second and think about those five people. See their faces? Those five faces right in front of you. Do those faces make you smile? Do these people routinely uplift you and support you? Do you laugh together? Do you pray together? Do you see their faces light up when you come into the room? Do you feel joy when you pick up the phone and they're on the other line? Something to think about this week, for sure. It just makes sense that if we truly want to show up as our highest and best all the time, being God's expression on earth, we might want to reinforce ourselves by surrounding ourselves with people who have been where we want to go. Inspiring models and mentors. And we can choose to be in places and take part in activities that stretch us beyond our comfort zone, because that stretching will help us grow. Places like Unity of New York on a Sunday morning, or spiritual retreats, or a wonderful yoga class, or prayer with a prayer chaplain. So think for a minute, who has influenced you? Today it seems like we're deluged with influences, positive and negative, all day long, through conversations or social media, all types of advertising. Now, at first glance, you might want to think of a big, influential hero like Martin Luther King Jr. or Jane Goodall or Oprah Winfrey. Examples of courage? Sure. Examples of inspiration? Absolutely. Each one a fully human hero with their own personal challenges, emotions, and passions that they chose to take dominion over. All channels for good. Unmistakably. But when I think of those people who really made a difference in my life, they're the ones whose influence I feel every day, even this morning. Like my first grade teacher, Mrs. McIntyre, who taught me to read out loud and to never be afraid to trust my voice. I think about One Spirit director, Diane Burke, who inspired me to embrace the title Reverend and all that that means. And of course, I think of Reverend Barbara Raven, who encouraged and cheered me on to spiritual consciousness and confidence. But what did these personal heroes share in common that made such a difference in my life? Well, first of all, they cared. They listened patiently, and they gave me their undivided attention whenever we were together. I think of each one of those as an oasis of calm and confidence for me. Somebody I could turn to and know I could trust, and where I would receive good and loving guidance with my highest good in mind. But when we only recognize the influence of those we look up to, we're leaving out the powers that each one of us naturally possesses. My friends, you have had the same influence on another at some time in your life. Every single one of us has enormous capacity to influence others around us, but some of us just don't use it. And we don't use our power to make a difference for the good. So now, gratefully, I am older and many decades have passed since the drama of the 60s, but today it tickles me to look back and think I might have made a couple of differences in the world. In the last couple of years, I've been really honored to have a few of my great nieces named for me. In that charming southern way, one of my nieces said, "We're giving her your name, hoping she'll grow up and take after you." Isn't that great? Take after me? Wow! Wow! There's no greater compliment in the world. So as we move along in our life, how can we continue to let God flow through us and powerfully resist that urge to be a drama queen or a cranky curmudgeon in our old age? Whether you're a parent or a partner or in any position of authority, you can powerfully and positively choose to speak life into the people that are brought into your life. Number one, we can always choose to speak blessings. Every time we use our voices to bless others with approval and encouragement, we inspire self-esteem and confidence and courage. Remember, when you can, to overlook flaws and instead praise ourselves and others when we're doing something right. Let's eat and sleep and breathe namaskar. And namaste, truly beholding the Christ in ourselves and others every day. Number two, we can choose to smile. Would you smile right now for me? Look around and see those smiling faces. Wow, you're beautiful. Research tells us that 65% of communication is nonverbal. How we interact with our body language has more power than any words we could ever speak to ourselves and to those around us. A smile is one of the strongest communication tools. It expresses joy and happiness and friendliness and an insight into our inner life, to our intentions, to our emotions and feelings. As we smile, we radiate warmth and empathy and cooperation in the world. Come to think of it, smiling is a little bit like prayer, isn't it? As it moves through us into the outer, it can shift a negative mood, it can relieve stress, it can raise our immune system, and even lower our blood pressure. And thank God, smiling is completely contagious. All the benefits that we get from smiling, we can give away by making someone else smile in return. In closing, as we embrace our power to make a difference this morning, let's take these little lessons to heart. This week, let's intentionally stay connected to Spirit. Choose to pray and meditate every day just to stay in the flow and maintain dominion over our thoughts and our ideas for good. And please keep on smiling. You never know who's watching you. And so it is. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you. We are so blessed. And as we move into our time of meditation, I invite you to breathe in the calm and peace of this sanctuary and take in the special energy that has been generated in our time together this morning. In complete safety and ease of mind and heart and body, we relax into our chairs. Our feet are resting on the floor, and we are centered and supported by Spirit and by each other. We are one with God. We rest in our hearts right now, and we feel with each heartbeat the current of God's amazing powers that flow through us with every breath and every pulse of our hearts. With gratitude and awe, I know that all that is God's is mine for the asking in this moment. How will we choose to use our 12 powers today? Which ones will I choose to partner with to magnify my life? Will I purposely bring love into the power of the words I speak and the actions I take this week? Despite any challenge or appearance to the contrary, I have the power to manage my emotions and my reactions. I choose to soften my words and shine the love of God, being a gentle and kind example in the world, no matter what might distract me into anger or anxiety. My week may require power and strength for me, where I am called to stand strong and tall and hold the light of God before me to light a dark path. I am filled with the strength of God and can speak words of truth and integrity in the midst of any storm. This may be a week of pure joy and blessing for us. A child graduating from college or being married, where our hearts are soaring, light and free. I will feel God's good pouring through me and my family and friends and use my powerful words for thanksgiving and praise. However this day or week will unfold for you. Whether we choose to use our power with faith, understanding, wisdom, or zeal, we know that Spirit is always guiding and protecting us. And as we move into a few moments of silence, we see each day already blessed with divine power and any concerns gently released into God's perfect care. And as we return to our conscious awareness of this beautiful place on 95th Street on Memorial Day weekend, we are so grateful for God's love and abundance and all the amazing powers we are heir to. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. And so it is. Amen. Mm-hmm.